There we go. All right, we are glad that you're here. I tell you what, I'm starting to see familiar faces. Seem like the same ones come every time. We're glad that you're here, though. This is lesson number 7, and we are talking about Islam's view of women. I wanted to talk about the picture for just a minute. You see this woman, right? Where's my... Guess I better turn that on, hadn't I? It works better, won't it? See that woman, right? That thing still won't do it. There it is. See that woman right there? Looks like she's all covered up, doesn't she? Folks, she's got her head turned around, looking the other way, okay? She does have eyeballs. They're just looking the other way, but it looks kind of confusing, doesn't it? I found that picture, and I said, boy, that's not too good. All right, I do have a handout, so let's get these passed out very quickly, and we'll be ready to roll. Let's begin with a quote. This comes from a book entitled Inside Islam, and it's a chapter entitled Women in Islam. And very interestingly enough, that this particular chapter is written by a woman, okay, Geraldine Brooks. And she makes the following statement. At some point, every religion, especially the one that purports to encompass a complete way of life and, listen to this, system of government, that's interesting, has to be called to account for the kind of life it offers the people in the lands where it what? Predominates. Got that? Okay, there's two important statements that he makes. He says, number one, well, he really says three, but two that we want to focus in on. He says, number one, if a religion purports to the idea that this religion involves an entire way of life, then it needs to be examined and it needs to prove itself. And he secondly says that it needs to prove itself in the land where it what? Where it predominates. Does Islam predominate the United States? No, they do not. Not yet. Okay? So Islam, as practiced in the United States, okay, is not true Islam, okay, in a lot of ways. Now, it is, but it doesn't present itself that forthrightly, okay? Got a couple more who need handouts, guys. If we can. Glad y'all are here. Take for instance, and this is interesting too. Does the Catholic Church predominate in the United States? Does the Catholic Church predominate in the United States? Well, we got a lot of divided folks here, don't we? If you are solely looking at numbers, okay, yes, okay, it'll be the largest, quote, Christian group in the United States of America, okay? But just like Islam, Catholicism is not just a religion. It is a government, okay? Folks, the Vatican is its own state. Did you know that? And the Pope is the one who is the head of state over the Vatican. Okay? And does the Catholic Church have the government here? No. No. They are not in charge of our government. Okay? You go into a country where the Catholic Church is the predominant religious group and has charge of the government, then guess what? Then you see true Catholicism. Okay? And that's the only way to really see true Catholicism. And the only way to see true Islam is to go into a country where it is the dominant religion and it is the what? The government. Okay? We're seeing that right now today where? In Egypt. Okay? The Muslim Brotherhood is now the ruling power, are they not? And you begin to see what's transpiring over there, don't you? Okay, you're beginning to see the true Islam in Egypt at work, folks. And we need to keep that in our minds. Okay, and in our section tonight, we're going to be talking about this point right here, complete way of life, especially as it regards women. Okay? What are its requirements? What are the responsibilities of women? How does it view women? That's what we're going to be looking at. Okay? Now, as we start this, we need to keep three influences in our mind, okay? Because these are very, very important influences with regard to a Muslim woman, okay? Number one, we need to understand that the Quran and the other Islamic teachings have an influence on how the Muslims view women, okay? But notice secondly, the society in which the woman lives plays an important role in that as well. Okay, let me ask you, do you think maybe Muslim women in the United States have more freedoms than the women do in Muslim countries? Why? Because of the society in which they live, right? We go over to Iraq, and we have a war over there, and we take over the nation to some extent, don't we? And all of a sudden, we're told women are liberated, right? That tells me that before we got there, before our influence was exerted, women were not liberated, okay? And so the society plays a huge part in how these women are treated and how they're viewed in that society. And then the third thing that plays a big role is this, the background and temperament of a man who marries a Muslim woman, okay? You think that there are different temperaments, different behaviors, different personalities of different Muslim men? Oh, yeah. Yeah, folks, that one right there, that third one, plays a huge role in our own marriages, doesn't it? You know, all of us are constantly looking at another couple, right? And we say, ooh, I sure do wish I had him for a husband or her for a wife, don't we? Okay, you know, because we think they're just so sweet, and they're so nice, and they're so kind. Get them home. Get them home, right? We all have our faults, don't we? And we all have good points, and we all have bad points. And that's one of the things I tried to teach my son. I said, son, girls all have the same parts. That's number one, okay? All have the same parts. And I said, every girl has good and bad, okay? You have the same parts as every other man, and guess what, young man? You got good and bad in you, right? And so, you know, you're going to have to learn to love, and you're going to have to learn to work with and any person that you marry, right? And the same holds true in the Islamic nation. Why do you think I bring that third one up? Why is that important? It's especially important in the Muslim nations, okay? In the Muslim nations. If you have a man who is extremely authoritative, right, and he is a religious zealot, right, he really believes in his religion and he's really going to practice his religion, and he gets a wife who's not as enthusiastic, are there going to be troubles? There's going to be some hardships. What if a man, though, is more understanding and is more kind? And it's not that he's not very religious. He's just, you know, of a different temperament. He's not this authoritative type person. Is the woman going to live a different life with that man than the other? Yeah. So even in the Muslim nations, who you marry plays a big role in how a lot of this stuff is carried out or not carried out. Okay? So just keep those things in mind. Very, very interesting. Let me not go there yet. Let me stop. Let me read you something. This comes from the Quran. This is Surah 419. There are passages in the Quran that teach men to treat their women properly. Here's one of them. Consort with them in kindness. Now, if that's the only passage you have, right, you would think what? Man. You know, the men are to consort with the women in kindness. They're not to be mean to them. You know, they're to be kind to them, gentle to them. And folks, when you're discussing these things with Muslims, guess which passages they take you to? They take you to these, okay? And if you don't know they're in there, right, then it could surprise you, couldn't it? You know, you need to know that they're gonna counter you with something. Okay, you can take all the bad passages you want to, and then all of a sudden he says, "Now wait just a minute." Okay, there's a passage in here that says I'm to treat my wife with kindness too. And you're going, "Where's that?" He shows it to you. You might as well go sit down, right? Okay, just know that it's in there and be aware of it. Okay, but oftentimes, and that's the next point. Okay, other teachings take precedence over some of the other passages, okay? Yes, there is a passage that says what? Treat women with kindness. But there's other passages, folks. And sometimes those other passages take precedent over the kindness stuff, okay? And so you need to be aware of that, all right? Are you ready to paint the picture of how Islam views women? Are you ready to do this? Okay? When you get through and you leave, you're going to be more depressed than you are right now. Okay? So if you're depressed, you might want to take a Zoloft or something. Okay? Because it's not a pretty picture, I promise you. Okay? All right, let's get to it. Number one, they believe that men are superior. Okay? That's point number one. And this comes from Surah 434. Men are superior to women. Man, we might as well just put a period there, right? Listen to what he says. On account of the qualities with which Allah gifted the one above the other. Who is responsible for man being superior to woman? God. Allah. That's what it says. Okay? This isn't Muhammad's fault. This isn't Islam's fault. This is whose fault? Allah's fault. You got a problem with that? You can die and go talk to Allah. Right? Because Allah was the one who made the difference. And listen to this next one, okay? This won't play well, folks, in a capitalistic nation like the United States of America. Did you know that? Because listen to what it says. And on account of the outlay they make from their substance for them. What's he talking about? How were things way back then? How were things, say, in the 20s, 30s, and 40s in the United States of America? Where was the woman? That woman was home, was she not? Okay? Raising the children, taking care of them, right? Who was out making the paycheck? The man was. Folks, let me tell you what. Islam still functions like that today. True Islam, remember? It still functions like that. The woman stays where? Home, the man works and provides for the family. Okay? So guess what the woman is? The woman is a taker. Right? And because you are a taker, because you are a receiver of my gifts, that makes you what? Inferior to me. Now, why do I say that won't fly in the United States of America? Yes, women's lib. Women work in our society, don't they? Folks, there are many, many homes where the woman makes almost as much as the man or more. And most of the time, she definitely works as much as the man, right? 30, 40, 50 hours a week. Okay? So that's going to be very difficult in the United States unless we have some radical changes, right? Just be aware of that. Radical changes. Okay, now women, if you're sitting there thinking, "Oh boy, that sounds good to me. I get to stay home now." You wait till the end of this class, okay? Before you make your decision, okay? Just wait till the end of class. Point number two: women are deficient. What you laughing about, Larry? Listen to this. Okay, this comes from a comment from a Muslim on Surah 411. Man is more perfect than the women in creation and intelligence and in the religious sphere, such as suitability to be a judge and a leader in worship. Man is what? Superior. In what? In everything. In his intellect, okay? In his religious abilities. He's just higher and superior. The women are deficient in what? In their intellect and in these abilities. How does that make you feel, gals? You're deficient. Okay? That's the view of Islam. All right? Look at that last statement. Okay? Also, the testimony of a man is twice that of a woman. Okay? What does that mean? Men are more honest. Okay? They're more perceptive. They're able to discern better. And so if you're going to go to court, you can bring you one man, or you can bring you what? Two women. It takes two women to make one man as far as testimony is concerned. Okay? Folks, y'all just aren't too good of witnesses. Okay? I know you women, y'all asked for this, okay? Y'all didn't, but everywhere I've ever taught this, that's the one class that everybody wants. Give us something on view of women, all right? So here we go. Look at Razi commenting on Surah 30:31. Women are not charged with many commands as we are charged. Boy. Because the woman is weak. Silly. In one sense, she is like a what? Child. And no commands are laid upon a child. Ooh-wee. Now, I want you to get the picture, okay? First off, they said what? Men are superior to women, right? Okay, men are superior. Maybe they're just a little bit, right, below. Is that what you kind of think, maybe? You know, they're not that high, you know, just a little bit lower than the man. But now, where does he put them? Now they're down here as a child, okay? Is that a little bit lower than a wife or woman? You know, I consider my children to be below my wife, don't you? Okay? And then I come in under the so keep the picture in mind. Just keep this decreasing view of woman in your mind, okay? You went from being what? Less superior to now a what? To a child, okay? One of the hadiths says this. Women are ungrateful to their husbands and are ungrateful for the favors and good charitable deeds done to them. Okay? So, what they're just trying to get you to do, see, folks, is see you're deficient in gratitude even. Okay? You're not even thankful for your husband who provides all this stuff for you. You're deficient in it. Okay? Not enough intellect. Not enough leadership ability. Not enough gratitude. You're just a what? Silly little child. Like that? Here we go. Hang on tight, ladies. Okay, it gets gooder. Okay, look at this next one. This comes from Muhammad himself. He says this. The woman is a toy. Uh-oh, we just stepped out of the human realm. I thought it was bad a while ago, didn't you? Superior, inferior, now I'm a child. Now I'm not a child. What am I? I'm a toy. You're just a toy. And look at that. Whoever takes her, let him take care for her. You're just a what? A toy. Let's keep going. You ready? This comes from a quote from one of the Muslim thinkers. Okay, and he wrote the following. The Sadr al-Din Shirazi classifies women as animals, and is a delicate allusion to the fact that women, due to their deficiency in intelligence and understanding of intricacies, are truly and justly among the brutes. There you are. You're just a what? You're just a brute. I've met some women that have been some brutes. Okay? But folks, we're talking about what? We're talking about a mindset, aren't we? Okay? When they view the woman, they view her as what? Inferior. Well, that inferior is way inferior, isn't it? Like a child, like a toy, like what? Like an animal, a brute. That's all you are. That's their mindset toward women. Okay? Listen. Yes?
How do they justify that women bear their children?
Well, that's what their purpose is. Okay, and if they don't bear a good one or a right one, it could be bad. Okay? You bring forth a child, and maybe he's has some kind of mental issues, okay, learning disabilities. Guess whose fault that is? That's the woman's fault. If he wants a man and you give him a woman, guess what? That's your fault. Okay? Now, don't go into science on me. We're talking about Allah. We're not talking about science. I agree with you. I didn't put this quote on there, but I want you to listen to this one, okay? You, at least right now, well, except for being a toy, you're alive still, right? You're a brute, but you're alive, right? Listen to this one. This comes from Surah 2, 223. Your women are a tilth. T-I-L-T-H. Know what that is? A tilth? A field. F-I-E-L-D. Okay? A field. For you to cultivate. So go to your tilth as you will. Now what are you? You're just a piece of ground. Folks, how do you think they view women? What one word would you say would sum it all up? Well, I'm talking about just how they're viewed. Just property. That's exactly what they think. Okay? You're just the husband's what? Property. Okay? Whether you want to look at that property as a what? As a child. Whether you want to look at that property as an animal. Whether you want to look at that property as a dog. Whether you want to look at that property as a piece of land. You're just property. To who? To the man. Okay? So there's kind of their mindset toward women. Okay? When I was living in Paris, there was one of the elementary schools where a little boy came in, and he was a Muslim. Okay? They brought him in and sent him off to class. Every day, he was a holy terror to his teacher. Every day. You want to know why? She was a woman. And she was a infidel woman. And he gave that woman terror every day. Okay? And that was the battle going on was, you know, well, this is this little boy's religious beliefs. Right? So now the school needs to what? The school needs to do something to accommodate him and his religious beliefs. Okay? Going to have to hire a man or something. Okay, bring in a man to specifically teach him in that class. Larry?
Why doesn't the ERA and all the women livers in this country then rise up in opposition against Islam?
There are at least two reasons. Okay, number one is because women, homosexuals, Hispanics, blacks, folks, they're still in what category? Minority. Islam is what? Minority. You see, minorities aren't supposed to do what? Fight among minorities. We're all trying to get our what? Our rights, right? And if you try to suppress my rights, then why should you get your rights as a minority? So that's one reason, okay? Political. Politics plays big into this stuff, okay? And the second reason, folks, is F-E-A-R. Fear. Okay? You don't oppose Islam. Okay? Oh, you can, but you better watch out. Okay? Especially if you are up there in a high position of influence. Okay, where you can make a difference. Little Victor M. Eskew sitting over here almost in the ocean with 35 people here for 10 weeks ain't making a difference. You know that? Not as far as they're concerned. You get a man up there in high political positions, he can make a difference, can't he? He's got an audience of hundreds of thousands, you see. And so they would target a person like that. And so those are the two main reasons. Politics and fear are the two biggies. And that's the reason you don't hear about anybody up in high places hardly talking about Islam, do you? Politics and fear. Marcus?
Isn't it also to do that, but actually, if you got a constitution, actually, the states that
yeah, and see, that's where we're going to have to be bold and show this is not just religious. See, we always just keep this in a little bubble, don't we, of religion, and it's not. You know, we need to understand that they are a political system here to overtake our government. You know, and if we understood that, then our elected officials should step forward and do what? Throw them out. I don't care how much they holler and scream and yell. Okay, you are an enemy of our nation, and you're not going to stay here. Okay, and boy, that takes some gall, wouldn't it? Glenn, you had a question? Let me show you. You ready? Good question. That leads me right into my next point. I paid him to do that. I tell him, Ken, if we get bogged down, will you ask this question? And he said, sure. Here we go. Folks, a woman is a thing to be ashamed of. Okay? Notice the quote. Okay? This comes from one of the hadiths. Remember, the hadiths are what? The hadiths are one of the authoritative sources, are they not? Okay, the hadiths talk about the life of Muhammad, folks. Okay, and what they did is they went out and they found all these individuals who knew Muhammad. Okay, and they put together all the stories that everybody remembered about Muhammad. And folks, whatever was there, guess what? However Muhammad acted, however Muhammad behaved, however Muhammad conducted himself, well, guess what? We should conduct ourselves that way. Okay. And they have another book that is his sayings. In addition to the surahs, his other sayings, just his what? Just his teachings. Okay. Yes, he gave the surahs, but he also what? Elaborated on the surahs and gave other teachings. And so there's a collection of just his sayings, and they too are authoritative. So they view these hadiths and things as very authoritative. The woman is Arah. There you go. Arah. Have you ever been called that? Okay, I'm not going to call you that. When she goes outside the house, the devil welcomes her. Okay? Can my wife leave the house, go to work, go to the store, go to the next door neighbors, and everything be okay? Sure. Can she take a trip all the way to Tennessee to visit her mom? If she wanted to, my wife's from, her family's from Italy, could she jump a plane and fly over to Italy and go see her relatives that are over in Italy? Oh, yeah. And you know what? I don't think like that, okay? Let me tell you what that means. The word arah, a thing the devil delights in. Now, he doesn't delight in man, but he delights in a woman. Okay? Uh-huh. His first wife.
Right.
Yes.
But,
but you have to understand, Islam had not taken over, okay? And they were married quite some time, but she finally died, you know? And a lot of his surahs didn't come until he moved to Medina, okay? And so she didn't get the full brunt of all this. Plus, they were trying to teach this stuff. Okay, and remember, the Quran at one time was just recited, wasn't it? When did they finally compile it? After his death, right? By people who had memorized the Quran? No. Well, yes, this man had, but that's not how he compiled it. By his memory, how did he compile it? They had to go out and find all the fragments and all the things that people had written down about the surahs, right? And so, do we really have today what Muhammad taught or not? I wonder, you know? Folks, people can manipulate and people can do things the way they want to do things. You know what? And it'd be interesting to know. But she's the thing that the devil delights in. Now watch this, okay? When the women go out, therefore. Now what I mean by the devil delights in. The devil uses the woman as one of his biggest sources of temptation. Okay? So here's the deal. Sometimes we may get the idea that the woman puts on this veil and puts on all of her robes and everything and goes out into public because she's modest. Well, that's kind of the reason, but not really. Okay? The real reason is this, that if she didn't go out like that, all covered up, then Satan would use her to tempt men. We can't have that in this society. Okay? Folks, I don't think that my wife is just a tool of Satan to tempt men, do you? That's the view they have of a woman, okay? You go find out this is a very highly sexualized society, okay? They act like they're not. They act like everything's, you know, wonderful, highly sexualized society as far as the men are concerned, okay? And so, does Christianity teach that a woman is the keeper of the home? Yes. Okay. But, folks, I can also turn to Proverbs chapter 31, and I can read of the virtuous woman, and guess what she did? She bought a piece of ground and sold it. Oh, so she was a real estate person, right? She made clothes, and she took those clothes to the market and sold. Oh, so she was in the clothing business as well, you see. The Bible doesn't teach us that the woman is a tool of Satan to tempt man, and therefore she needs to stay at home and never get out. Okay? And if you do, you better be covered from head to toe. Okay? Because if not, Satan will use you to what? Tempt man. It's just another low view of who? Of the woman, isn't it? They wouldn't deny that she's supposed to be a what? A help meet. Okay? That word help meet, folk, means this. A help meet for him. Now that's the literal definition of the word in Hebrew. The woman is a help meet for the man. Okay? God made woman to complement man. God made woman to make man complete. Right? Okay? But they just view her as a what? Just as a tool for man. Okay? That's the way they view her. Anything that's positive in Scripture, what would they say? That's just another corruption of the text. Okay? That's just another place where, you know, did Jesus have a low regard for women? No, it's amazing Jesus' view of women, isn't it? And how different it is of that would be a wonderful study, wouldn't it? Contrast Jesus' teaching versus Islam's teaching on women. And which one do you want? The majority of the women are choosing Islam today. Blows your mind. Okay? Because I don't think they really know what it's all about, folks. Okay? Let's go to the next statement. Women's obedience to her husband is a key to paradise. You want to go to heaven? Then woman, obey your husband. Listen to this. This is one of the hadiths. Whosoever female dies while her husband is pleased with her will enter paradise. There you go. Don't make Louis mad. You do what he wants you to do. The minute you die, if you die and your husband's pleased with you, guess what? Right up you go into paradise. Okay? Unbelievable, isn't it? Okay? Questions, comments? Nope. Took the husband's life? Took their life? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And they probably wouldn't just take their life from the standpoint of suicide as far as just to commit suicide. It would probably be a religious act. They would be attacking someone. in that death, most likely. Okay. All right, let's go to the next point. Watch this one. Muhammad, he says this: watch how you treat your husband, for he is your paradise and he is your hell. Yes and no. See, and these are the contradictions that you find in the teaching, right? If a man dies in warfare against infidels, okay, if he kills himself or whatever it is, if he dies in battle, guess where he instantly goes? Paradise. So at that point, nothing matters other than that. And that's kind of similar to this teaching, okay? It's almost as if nothing else matters as long as you're what? Obedient to your husband. If you are and you die and your husband's tickled to death with you, guess what? Right up you go. And these are the contradictions, folks, that you find in man-made religions, don't you? There's all kinds of contradictions in man-made religions. Drive you nuts. Okay? And it just makes... See, these are the questions that you need to ask them, right? Wonderful question. If a woman dies having pleased her husband, will she go to paradise? Yes. Okay, that's the teaching of the Hadith, right? And that's the teaching of Muhammad. Well, what about if she had done a whole bunch of bad deeds that outweighed the good deeds? Wouldn't you want to answer to that? I'd like to hear the answer, wouldn't you? Because according to their doctrine, if her bad deeds outweigh her good deeds, she's supposed to go where? She's supposed to go to hell. But if she pleased her husband, she went right to where? Paradise. I don't know where she went. Okay? Take somebody smarter than me, because I don't know. I'm serious. Those are the kind of questions that we need to ask. Okay? All right, let's go to the next one. Okay? Man can beat their disobedient wives. Okay? Surah 4:34. Men have authority over the women because God has made the one superior to the other. Have we already heard that? Same surah, folks. And because they spend their wealth to maintain them, good women are obedient. Boy, I may need to repeat that. Good women are obedient. Oh, we're not teaching, are we? Not on women and husband relationships. That's a joke. Man, y'all are a rough crowd tonight. Thank you. Now watch this. As for those from whom you fear disobedience, and folks, mark this, okay? Because there's three things he says you can do to them, okay? Number one, what do? Admonish them, okay? So it's not just an initial beating, okay? What do you do first of all? Admonish them. Woman, you're what? You're out of boundaries. You're out of your line. You need to get back in line and you need to do what I tell you to do. Right? So you admonish them. Well, if she continues to be disobedient, next thing you do is what? Send them to bed. A little quiet time. Okay? Every woman needs a little quiet time. Okay? Can you imagine your husband telling you that? Yeah, he'd be on, you got that right. He'd be on the couch or in a hotel or somewhere for the night. Right? You may be in your bed. It ain't going to be with him very near. But that's the second thing. But notice the next thing. Okay? And what? Beat them. That's in the what, folks? That's in the Quran. That's one of the surahs. That is the authoritative doctrine of who? Muhammad and Allah. Right? And beat them. They can deny it. They can say it ain't so. It's in the Quran. Surah 434. You just remember it. Yeah, the surah says you can. Okay? Then if they obey, take no further action against them. Surely God is high, supreme. Man, pretty powerful, isn't it? Listen to the conclusion of a major study. In review of the actual teachings of the Quran, Hadith, and Sirah, Islam is rightly criticized. It will be shown that from the Quran, Sirah, and other Islamic writings, that this Islamic wife beating is physical and painful. You cannot separate the issue of wife beating apart from the context of her inferior position in the marriage relationship. Listen to the Pakistani Institute of Medical Sciences. They have determined that over 90% of Pakistani wives have been struck, beaten, or abused sexually for offenses on the order of cooking an unsatisfactory meal. Don't you be feeding me no liver and onions. Right? That's worth beating. Look at the next one. Others were punished for failing to give birth to a male child. You can't even determine that, can you? You don't determine that. And yet, how many women were beaten in Pakistan? 90%. Does that tell you that they believe in wife beating? They believe the Quran is authoritative? That tells me that. Okay? It's pretty potent stuff, isn't it? That's just in what? One country, isn't it? Folks, Pakistan is totally, completely run by who? Muslims. Okay? So it is a true test of what Islam's all about. Okay? This comes from the USA medical science. Comes from the Pakistani medical science. Okay? Their own people have made the survey and said 90% of women are beaten. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Okay? Guys, we could go in, and you can do this. Remember I said every one of these things that we're teaching and every one of these things that we're pointing out to you, you can go and expand the information, couldn't you? I could sit here and I could read for you list or example after example after example of how women were beaten. Okay? And it's not pretty. Heard one woman, she was beaten with 80 lashes every day, 40 of them on her feet. Every day for like a period of 2 months. Okay? And that's not pretty, is it? See, it's one thing to just say beat and then you go study and find out what they actually do. And it's horrendous. Okay? And it's just not very pretty. Okay? Notice this next point. In this earthly life, men are permitted multiple wives and sexual rights to slave girls. Okay? Here's the surah. Now, there we go. The reason I like a surah is because it's very authoritative. It comes from the Quran. If ye fear that ye shall not be able to deal justly with orphans, marry women of your choice. Two or three or four. There's the four wives, guys. Okay? Two or three, or four. Okay? But if ye fear that ye shall not be able to deal justly with multiple wives, then only one, or a captive, your right hand possesses. Now, folks, you have to remember that in the days of Muhammad, there was a lot of warfare going on, right? Okay? They lived in a land of tribes, didn't they? And these tribes constantly did battle with one another. Okay? And if you made one tribe mad, guess what could happen? They would attack you. Or if you were mad at another tribe, you attacked them. And part of the reward was what? The women and children. Okay? The captives. And so you may get a couple of women captives for yourself. So guess what you can do? You can make them your wives, and they don't count as the four. Okay? They don't count as the four. The captive women are just additional. Okay? So you got four good Muslim wives, right? And then you got what? Two, three, four, five captive wives. So that you can have more than four. So they believe in polygamy. There's no doubt about it. Okay? Notice this next quote. The above descriptions are literal, and the relationship between men and their, what is that? Huris. What is that? Harem. Okay? Their harem. Okay? Are physical and not only spiritual. Once again, the man has all the advantages and pleasures, while the woman must be perpetually used for his purposes. His is the pleasure, hers is the disturbance in this world and the next. Okay? Man, I'm sorry, I read the wrong quote, didn't I? I apologize. I hate that. Look at B. If a man purchases a slave girl, the purchase contract includes his right to have sex with her. This contract is primarily to own her and secondarily to enjoy her sexually. We'll come back to the marriage contract in just a minute. Okay? Folks, multiple wives in paradise. That was that quote that I just talked about. A hadith makes the number 72. 70 females are specifically created for you. Okay? So these females didn't live on earth. Okay? These are the ones God makes for you. 70 perfect virgins. Okay? And then the two are what? Earthly women. And one of those may be your primary wife on earth. Okay? Isn't that something? So men got it made, don't they? You can have as many wives as you want down here, and you can have what? 72 up there. Unbelievable. Okay? That's in paradise. Now, let's talk about marriage for just a minute, because that's what we're right in the middle of, okay? And the question is, are women free or are they slaves? That's the question, all right? A Muslim scholar by the name of Ghazali says the following: the most satisfying and final word on the matter is that marriage is a form of slavery. The woman is the man's slave. And her duty, therefore, is absolute obedience to the husband in all that he asks of her person. Okay? Now, after Khadijah, Muhammad married several women, didn't he? A woman by the name of Elisha was one of them. And listen to what Elisha says. Elisha, the most beloved of Muhammad's many wives, admonished women in no uncertain terms. Oh, women folk, if you knew the rights that your husbands have over you, every one of you would wipe the dust from your husband's feet with her face. Now that's how much they stress obedience to husbands and loyalty to husbands and respect for husbands in that country. Okay? I guarantee you my wife ain't going to wipe my feet with her face. Is yours? Any of you women ever done that? Didn't think so. Disobedient things.
Well, they don't believe that God created all men equal.
No. No. The women are subservient. Yes. Created second. Not first. Second. As a helpmeet. Okay? No. No. Folks, this next quote comes from a book entitled Cruel and Usual Punishment. Now, usually we talk about cruel and what? Unusual punishment. This is a woman who lived as a Muslim in a Muslim country for many, many years. Okay? And you can get her book. Her name is Darwish. And this is what she writes in the introduction. For the first 30 years of my life, I lived as a virtual slave. I was a bird in a cage, a second-class citizen who had to watch what I said, even to my closest friends. Under Islamic law, I had to live in a gender-segregated environment and always be aware that the legal and social penalty for sin could end my life. This is what it is to live as a woman under Sharia law. That's sad, isn't it? But that's a woman speaking who lived as a wife in a Muslim country to a Muslim. Okay? She said, I was a what? I was a slave. Folks, the name for the marriage contract is nikah. And the literal meaning of that word nikah is this: sexual intercourse. So in other words, when they talk about their marital contract, what comes to their mind? Sexual intercourse. Okay? Isn't that amazing? Now, there's no doubt that in the marriage relationship that there is what? The sexual privilege, isn't there? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge, according to Hebrews 13, verse 4. But, folks, they look at it solely as a what? As a sexual contract. Okay? Here comes a quote from Darwish again. The Sharia marriage contract is essentially a document granting sexual intercourse rights to the male and giving him total control over his wife or wives. Here's what a hadith says. Allah's messenger said, if a husband calls his wife to his bed, that is to have sexual relations, and she refuses and causes him to sleep in anger, the angels will curse her till morning. See, now that's not in your notes, is it? That's just extra. That's free. Okay, that's why I get the tapes or something. But a man can just, anything he desires, okay, anything he wants, guess what? It is that woman's responsibility to immediately provide it for him. Okay? Sound spoiled? Hey, spoil me. No, I'm kidding. Folks, there's three different kinds of marriages, and I've listed there for you. Okay? Let's go back. I'll talk about that in just a second. Listen to these three types of marriage. There's called the Yunfi, and it is a typical marriage. There is the Muta'a. That's a pleasure marriage, a temporary marriage. Okay, so if you just see a woman out there and she looks pleasing to you, guess what? Just grab her. Form a marriage contract with her. These marriage contracts of a temporary nature, they're usually supposed to last 3 days. Okay, that's how long they normally last, 3 days. Huh? No. No, she can't object. There's no objection for the woman. The woman has zero rights, okay? Just no rights. There's a third kind of marriage, and it's called the Misyar, M-I-S-Y-A-R. That's the traveler's marriage, okay? Going out of town for a day or two, okay? Guess what? Find a woman over there, you know, in a certain town, guess what you do? You just have a traveler's marriage, okay? Now, why do they do all this marriage stuff? To make it legit. So that we can say what? We don't sin. We marry these women. Right? Now, it's not the biblical definition of marriage. It's not the marriage that we believe in and practice. Right? But still, it's a what? It's a marriage. Sir? Usually, the child will belong to the man, especially if he's a male. Okay? Especially if he's a male. They don't always want the female. But that male, they'll want. Okay? But most of the time, both children will come to him. Okay? And does he have to worry about it? Children? Just bring them in and what?
She'll take care.
Right? He's probably got maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 wives that can just what? All of a sudden he leaves on a trip and he comes home with a 3-year-old. That was from his what? That was from his traveler's marriage. Well, he ain't going back to her anymore. She done mad. So he brought the kids with him. Right? Well, who's going to take care of them?
His other wives,
absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Things that you have to understand, though, folks, is that this has been taught from down here, from birth. This is not been taught from birth. This is whose will? This is the will of Allah. You see, and so you know, it's amazing what you can convince people of, isn't it? And how to behave, and how. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's Very few of them. Now, you'll have some. Most of them don't respond by killing their husbands. Most of them respond by trying to get out of it. Okay? And they try to flee to a nation like the United States or, you know, Europe or somewhere to have some form of freedom. Okay? And that's what this lady did, Darwish. She finally fled to the United States of America and got her freedom over here. She knew it was bad and she couldn't stand it. Okay? But she never responded with that hostility at all. Okay? And if they do, are there going to be severe consequences?
She says she
feared for her life. You commit a sin, fear for your life. Okay? And survival is important, isn't it? Okay? Yes.
What?
It depends. Okay? It depends. If they're in war and they are punishing an unbeliever, and they punish that unbeliever by raping that person, nothing wrong with it. Okay? It's a form of punishment in war. So, not necessarily. Okay? Most of the time, though, they will contract some kind of a marriage agreement. Okay, whether it's a temporary marriage, traveler's marriage, there'll be some kind of a, you know, an agreement so that it's a marriage. Okay? Yes, sir?
I always wonder how they treat the American women over here that they marry over here. How are they treated? I've never heard of that.
Remember, we said it the first. That's where I say keep in mind those 3 points, right? Yes, the Quran is the main teaching. But there's 2 other factors that influence the treatment of women, society in which they live, and what? And the man to whom they're married, right? Okay, so right now over here in this society, folks, you can't get away with that kind of treatment of women, can you? You cannot get away with that.
Is there any cases where it's been justified by the people saying this is religious?
I don't know about the beatings so much, but I do know we're going to get to the very last point in our lesson tonight, okay? And these have been okayed, or I should say overlooked. Okay, he said that have there been instances where the Islamic law has been carried out against a woman in the United States? Okay, I'm sure that I would go as far as say yes. I've got no documented evidence. Okay, but when we get to our lesson about Islam in the United States, you're going to find out some things about where Islam is over here, and it's scary. Okay, they have some Islamic communities in the United States where Islamic law is practiced, and U.S. law does not have any say whatsoever. Okay, and they're right here in the U.S. Okay, so we'll talk about those when we get there. All right, let's go quickly. We've got a lot to cover. Divorce. Okay, divorce is both abhorrent to Allah and also lawful. Okay, here's what the hadith says. The most detestable of, how do you like this, lawful things near Allah is divorce. Ain't that a hoot? It's detestable to him. He hates it. But it's what? It's lawful. Okay? That's pretty much the some of the things in the United States, isn't it? The Bible says God hates the putting away. The U.S. is filled with a divorce. Isn't it? It's amazing. Okay, look at this next statement. Okay, the hadith says this. A man may say to his brother in Islam, have a look at either of my wives, and if you want, I will divorce her for you. Well, you know, if I got a harem and you got a harem, you know, let's just do what? Let's just do a little horse trade. I mean, she just what? She did a brood anyway, right? Oh, it's pretty bad. Now watch this. To carry out a divorce, all a man has to do is say what? I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and it's over. Okay? You're free to leave and go with that other man now. Okay? Unbelievable. Sharia law places no restraints on a man's divorcing his wives or wives, and no reason is required. Okay? You get up this morning, and you're sick, you didn't put on any makeup, you look rough. Guess what? I divorce you. You better hope he doesn't say it 3 times, because if so, you're gone. Right? Scary, isn't it? Yes, sir?
A Hindu religion like that.
Similar, yes. And there's some... We're going to have to keep on our toes about the Hindu religion as well. Okay, everybody looks at Islam and they look at Hindu and they say, ooh, that's so sweet and peaceful, and this one's so mean. Folks, you better get in there and do some study of Hinduism. It's not as sweet and loving and peaceful as you might think it is. Okay, there's some pretty rough teachings in that too. Okay, watch this next point, folks. I didn't put it up there. A man can divorce all four of his wives and start the cycle of marriage to four more over again. Okay? So I can marry four, have them for a month, marry four, have them for a month, marry four and have them for a month. Folks, by the time I get to the end of my life, I could have had thousands of women if I so desire. It's amazing, isn't it? Unbelievable. Okay? Now watch this next one, though. Once a Muslim woman has been thrice divorced by the same husband, she must marry and divorce another man before going back to him. How you like that? Okay. So we marry and divorce three times, and then we're divorced, but you haven't remarried, but I want you back, but I can't until you do what? Go marry somebody else. Now, folks, when they say go marry somebody else, what they mean by that is this. She has to not only marry him, but she has to go through the entire complete sexual relationship before that marriage is really a marriage, so that she can divorce him and come back to him. Okay?
She doesn't.
Huh?
She does not divorce him.
We're going to talk about it. Yep. Maybe. It'd be very difficult, okay? What, ma'am? Sometimes, yep, sometimes. A lot of times what happens is that it's not so much that they've never been married, they become what? Divorcees or widows, right? And they're just no longer wanted, you know, but they have been married. There's not a whole lot of them that, you know, are just single, okay? So what do you try to do?
So they become beggars.
Beggars, or you try to find another what? Another husband that will take you because he can provide for you. You see? And that's part of this deal, folks. Okay? And it's one of the reasons that, especially way back then, and see, we keep thinking in terms of U.S. thought, don't we? You know, I can provide for myself. I'm a doctor. I'm a nurse. I'm a lawyer. I'm a, you know, whatever I do for a living, you know, I can just get rid of that old man, right? I don't need him. Well, that wasn't the way it was back then. You get kicked out, you got nothing, okay? First Muslim. Mm-hmm. The same way that we view some of our officials who tell us one thing and do another, you know? People just keep them up there on a pedestal, you know. They telling us, cut back. You give away. And they just live in how on a hog up there. And everybody acts like nothing's wrong with that, you know. Well, who is this? We're talking about who? We're talking about the wife of who? Muhammad. You better not pop off about Khadijah. You know what? I'm serious. There's just some things you don't do, and that's one of them. Guys, there is such a thing in Islam as a third-party divorce. Okay? So let's assume that a man and a woman are happily married, and somebody who is over them has more power, more authority, more money, and they don't want them married, or he wants your wife. Guess what? It can happen. Even though you two want to be together. Okay? Unbelievable. Isn't it? Third-party divorces. A woman can't ask for a divorce, okay? But two things have to happen. Number one, either the husband grants it or she goes to the Sharia court. If she goes to the Sharia court, she's going to have to pay back all of the dowry and huge sums of money to get out of that. Guess what she doesn't have? She doesn't have that, folks. Okay? So the rules are written in such a way that it's impossible almost for this woman to do this. Okay? Let's assume she does divorce. Two things happen. She gets 3 months' allowance from her husband that she just divorced, and she loses her children. Now, I go in debt. I become a beggar. I lose my kids. And at the most, I'm going to be able to make it 3 months. At the most. What would you do? I'm going to be an obedient wife. I'm not going to let this happen to me. Right? It's bad, folks. No, it's not totally like that, okay? It may be. Let's assume that a man gets married and his wife gets pregnant and they're expecting their first child. What does a man usually want? A boy, right? But he didn't get a boy. He gets a girl, okay? He might be upset. But then there's the different temperaments of men. Remember we talked about that. And so this man may be tickled to death over this little girl. Okay? And in those situations, yes, sometimes the family will do everything they can to help, but it's rare. Okay, it's a rare thing, especially once that woman steps out of the house and marries somebody. Okay, and guys, these marriages can be contracted 6, 7, 8 years old. Okay, we're not talking about 18, 19, 20, 30-year-old women. We're talking about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old women if they want to. Okay. The real cutoff age without parental rights or parental, what do you call it? When a parent gives parental consent, couldn't think of the word. It's when a girl hits puberty. Okay, that's the marrying age, puberty. And is that happening earlier and earlier and earlier? Yes. And so the age of, if the girl comes, she hits puberty, she says, I want to be married so-and-so, she can do it. Okay. Or if the man wants to marry her, it can be done. And if the parents want to give her away earlier than that, they can. Just grant consent, and they can do it. Okay?
Are girls allowed to leave the house when they're young?
No. No.
Oh, yeah. Before they reach, like, 12 years old.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not like they're running all over the country. Okay? If their dad goes out, there always has to be, guess who there? A man, a brother, a close family member has to be there with them. And, it isn't like they just throw the children out there and let them run around the streets and go here and go there, okay? Especially the girls, right? Very, very heavily guarded. I don't know. I don't. There may be a lot more in it than you know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know how loosely that they really practice all of it. But anytime you've got a loophole, there's people who will use it. Very quickly, temporary marriages. This allows a man to contract a temporary marriage for a few months, even a few days, in order to satisfy his sexual needs. Folks, that's primarily in the Shiite religion. Okay, the Shiite denomination of these individuals. One of the traditions of Muhammad stipulates that a temporary marriage should last for 3 nights. Okay, at least that long. And if they like to continue, they can do so. And if they want to separate, they can do so. So there's the hadith. Okay, 3 nights. Proof of rape. Okay, this is interesting. First of all, there must be 4 male witnesses to the rape. Okay? And in the case of sexual misbehavior, 4 male witnesses are required. These witnesses must be able to do more than simply testify that an instance of fornication, adultery, or rape happened. They must have seen the act itself. Okay? For males. Point number one. Point number two. Look at this. This allows men to commit rape at will as long as, number one, they deny the charge, and number two, there are no witnesses. Right? And just do what you want to. With no consequences whatsoever. Unbelievable. Now watch this next part. This is scary. Okay? One more. My little thing is messed up. There we go. Okay? Listen to this next statement. If a woman charges a man of rape and no witnesses are found, her charge becomes an admission of adultery. Okay? So she gets raped. She goes to the hospital. The woman says, "What happened to you?" "I was raped." The man denies it. There are no witnesses. Then guess what she's done? She's just committed adultery. Okay? She's the one guilty now. Now watch this. As many as 75% of the women in prison in Pakistan are in fact behind bars for a crime, for the crime of being a victim of rape. It does something. 75% that are behind bars. Folks, man just had, he can do what he wants to with these women. Okay? Female circumcision. Okay? One of the grand sheiks made this statement. Female circumcision is a laudable practice that does honor to women. You go home. I don't have the guts in a male-female auditorium to talk about it. You go home and find out how it's done. There's three different kinds. And it's not pretty. None of them. Okay? None of them. But they think it is laudable. Okay? In the book, Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam, he makes this statement. Most authorities agree that female circumcision is designed to diminish a woman's sexual response so that she will be less likely to commit adultery. So again, what is it? It's the control of the woman, isn't it? Take away her sexual desires so that she won't go looking elsewhere. Okay? Unreal. Lastly, honor killings. This is what I was talking about a while ago. If a woman or daughter disgraces the home of a Muslim, the man is allowed to kill the woman. Remember a while ago we talked about what? We talked about Darwish and what she said. If I commit a sin, I fear for my life. Guys, there have been mercy killings take place in the United States of America, and our courts have overlooked them. Okay, that's happening. Just go on the internet, type in mercy killings, okay, honor killings, and you can read some of the examples. Okay, going on right here. Okay, because they have to oppose their religion, don't they? And they don't want to do that. Unbelievable. Conclusion. The question is really this, folks. If Islam becomes dominant in the United States of America, will women be better off?
No way.
No way. No way. Here's a conclusion. As long as men read and believe the Quran, women will be despised, second-class citizens, subject to the heartbreak and dehumanization of polygamy. The threat of an easy and capricious divorce and worse, including beatings, false accusations, and the loss of virtually all of the most basic human freedoms. They are the consequences of regarding the Quran as the absolute, eternally valid, and perfect word of Allah. As long as men continue to take the Quran at face value, women will be at risk. Unbelievable. One of the largest groups who are converting to Islam are women. Go figure. They can't. Apparently, they haven't studied it, and they. Well, what the problem is, they haven't lived in what? Either a free country or they haven't lived under true Islam. True? You know what I mean? If you're over here. And you haven't lived in true Islam, you haven't seen true Islam, you know, oh yeah, sounds like a wonderful religion. And so they take it. They don't know what it's like to live in true Islam. Eddie?
Yes, here in the United States, they're not killing the woman. If they kill the woman, our government can't do nothing about it?
They don't do anything. They could, but there's been some cases where they have not. Yeah. Sure has. Guys, next week we're going to do something that's pretty interesting. Jihad. Okay? I got two lessons on it. We got to get two in one again. All right? So come back and we'll preach at you some more.